Hey, Mama. Hey, Mama. Hey, Mama. What you doing?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Co-Parenting, Your Thrive Guide podcast. My name is Deborah Lene, and I am the host of the podcast. And I am so grateful that you have chosen to join me again this week. Seriously, guys, I am very, very grateful. I had more downloads in the past month than I've ever had. And I just am overwhelmed with gratitude. Like, I am just so honored that you guys choose to spend 30 minutes of your day, or however long I try to stay under 30 minutes, but 30 minutes of your day with me. And I am so grateful. And so this week, I hope that you guys have had a good week. I hope that as single moms, some of you may be single, some of you may not, but as a single mom, I really try to find joy in my daily life. And some days are easier to find joy than others. And so I hope for you all that this past week has been an easy joy finding week. And I know I am just so grateful that you guys are here. In thinking about this week, I am going to be talking about Mother's Day. And because it's coming up, and I am a mother, I am a birth mother. And so for me, Mother's Day brings up a lot of complicated, complex feelings. And I think back about, I guess it was, I can't remember, maybe, I don't even know, 5 or 10 years ago that birth mothers were being celebrated. And as a birth mother, it is so different than being a mother. I'm still a mother to Nico, but in a different way. And so I feel like that I have experienced all the ranges of emotions that one mother could feel, because I had Bree at a very young age. I had Nico at 30 and then placed him for adoption, and it was horribly painful. And I remember not wanting anything. I just said, we'll just pretend it didn't happen. And of course, Teresa, the adoptive mother, being wiser than I, she was like, no, 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 we want you. We want you in his life. And so, as I've told you guys before, I'm forever grateful that she made me do that, because I have a wonderful relationship and am proud of Nico. But and then I've been honored to have had Ava in my 40s. So I feel like I've experienced all the ranges of emotions and then some. So I wanted to talk today about the birth of my motherhood and kind of give you some words of encouragement and inspiration that maybe you can use if you have complicated feelings surrounding Mother's Day. And in thinking about how complex motherhood can be, and how, for me personally, my relationship with my mother was very complicated, and it's no surprise to any of us that the range of emotions and feelings are gratitude, sadness, grief, joy, anger, exhilaration. And as a mother, you're either blamed, you're idolized, you're glamorized, or you're judged very harshly by your children. And I found that out this week. And I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But or our family members or the outside world judges harshly. I remember when I had Bree in my 20s, I was go to a restaurant and I was so worried about what somebody else was going to say about my parenting skills. And then how in my 40s, when I parented Ava, when she was little, I did not care one bit what anyone thought of my parenting skills. But that is how, you know, the judgment that you feel, especially if you're a young mother, it just leaves little room for the true complexities of our motherness and for ourselves. And so I know I used to feel shameful and guilty that I didn't present this perfect little thing. Like, I didn't sew perfectly. I didn't cook perfectly. There's so many ideals, right? And especially during this time when Mother's Day is here and you see all these wonderful images on social media and the TV messages, and where they show the perfect version of motherhood. They show like moms and children and moms and daughters, you know, being best friends and celebrating togetherness. For many of us, that is not what we experienced, and not what we experienced with our own mothers, right? And so these images can bring up feelings as we see differences between what's portrayed and what's like the perfect mother versus what we experienced in our own life growing up, might internalize that and think, what is it wrong with me? Why didn't I get the loving mother or the kind mother or the gracious mother or the one that accepted me no matter what mother? So that can bring on a lot of shame and guilt. And I really feel like I have really worked through all of those emotions and feelings. You know, in looking back over my own complicated relationship with my mother and being raised in the patriarchal religious group that I was raised in, and how as a child, you know, I remember, you know, seeing my mother, like I watched her downplay her own feelings, right? She would downplay her own needs. And my mother always put other people first, like to a fault. She always put other people first. Growing up, that's what we were taught. And so I mirrored in many ways what she did in her daily life as a pastor's wife. My father is a minister. And so that's what she did, right? And she played that role. And women were expected to stay home and be mothers, and there was no discussion about working outside the home. And if there was discussion about working outside the home, it was only within a certain little circle. So we could choose to be a Sunday school teacher or teacher or a piano teacher or play piano, you know, for the church. So it was a very closed environment. And so when I was 20, I had Bree. I was married and I had Bree. And I remember not being happy about being pregnant because I always had a very independent streak. Anybody that knows me knows that about me. And I never had that like, oh, I remember saying I wanted to be a mother. I do remember saying that. But when I found out I was pregnant, I wasn't thrilled. And Bree knows that. And I've told her. And of course, as soon as she got here, you know, Bree has brought me unlimited amounts of joy and laughter. So no downplay on my oldest. She's wonderful. But I remember that I wanted a career. And I remember thinking that I wanted a career and having to reconcile that, okay, so maybe I won't have a career because I've got to do what God wants me to do. I've got to be a wife and a mother and, you know, stay home. But I had Bree, I was working, and, you know, life wasn't supposed to be like that for me. And I don't know what else to say. But when Bree was 8, I was in college, and Bree was 8, I was working. Bree was 8 months old. Her dad became very, very ill, and it was really a horrible time. He couldn't walk for a period of time. And so it was a lot. And so in my 20s, I ultimately got divorced. And then, of course, my parents, I don't want to say disowned me because that's a strong word, but there was very, very little contact once I made that decision to get divorced. My parents were very upset with me. I remember how that started changing me, obviously, as a person. And then, so think about this. So 20, had a baby, married, got divorced, no family support. Then I took that time, and poor Bree, I've asked her to forgive me. I dated a lot of men. I had good times, but I wasn't like stable. I was a young 20-year-old that had no exposure to the outside world. Then by 30, I was pregnant again. And thinking about being a birth mother and my motherhood, I was thinking about how I had to choose, because I love Nico so much, I had to choose what would keep my daughter and I safe. And in making that choice, I had to choose to place Nico, right? One of the hardest things I've ever done. And how that was supported by my parents, but yet not in the wholehearted way of emotional support that I needed. And let me just say, I think that my mother did the best she could do with the knowledge that she had. So I'm not bitter or angry or anything at my mother, but those moments in time, you remember the things that were said, the things that were not said. You remember the loneliness. You remember the lack of conversation, right? So all those experiences helped teach me to be a better mother to my children. When you have to make the decision of loving your child enough to make those tough choices, right, to place your second child for adoption, it was heart-wrenching. And, you know, there were some days that I thought, I'll never make it through. I remember those first 2 months. They were awful. It's hard to describe the feeling of how lonely that I was during that time. And yet those lessons have all helped me be a much better mother to Bree and even to Nico, who I am a mother to, but in a different kind of way, and then to Ava. And I just want to tell you that there is, as you move forward in your motherhoodness, I don't even think that's a word, but as you move forward, even the bad times can teach you to be a great mother, if you'll take those lessons, right? In 2007, I decided to take a year-long Bible study, and it was at the church in Chapel Hill, and I was really looking for my purpose. What do I do? I don't know. I really want to do something with my life. I'm just a mom working. It's kind of boring. I work, and I pay the bills, and, you know, rob Peter to pay Paul, and all of those things that many of us single moms deal with. During this year-long Bible study, it was on finding your purpose. The pastor asked, there was just a small group of us, about eight. We were asked to get a big poster, and then we were to list chronologically our age. So on the top of the poster, 0 to 5 years, 6 to 10 years, 11 to 15 years. So chronologically list our age. And then with green post-it notes, we are to write every memory. So for good memories, we use green post-it notes. For hurtful memories, we use pink post-it notes. So in 0 to 5, what memories do you have and who was it with? So my grandfather, I played dominoes with him, and that was a joyful memory. A fight that I got into with my sister, hurtful, or something that was said was hurtful. And this took time. When I'm telling you, it took, I don't know, 6 months probably to do it. Because as you start bringing up memories, you get more memories. You know how that is, right? And so you get more memories and more memories. And so then you go back and write. And I remember going back, writing this, seeing this. So that by the time it's complete, you can look at the area. So there's green and pink, right? Green is for happy. Pink is for sad. So then you go back and see, and you can see where the hurt is, right? When you look at it just from far away. So we did this, and I'll never forget. This was a life-changing moment for me. When I brought it in, he put it up on this big board, and he just stood there. It was very quiet in the room. He stood there, 0 to 5. Okay, your grandfather. You have aunts. You have an aunt. Okay. Yep, you have a brother, two sisters. Okay. All right. your dad, okay, your grandmother, okay? And so literally he just went through. So he stands there and he turns back around. His arms are crossed. And he says, "You don't have a mother?" And I said, "What are you talking about? Of course I have a mother." He goes, "Where's the memories?" It still makes me so emotional. I just looked at that board like, did I really not list my mother? And I had not listed my mother. I had not listed not one memory with my mother. Not my mom and dad. And if my mother is not living now, and I, to be honest, if she was not living, I would not say this to her. Because I would never want her to know that, because it would hurt her really bad. But I had so much hurt and anger that I had literally blocked those memories and all the wonderful memories that my mother gave me. It's not like she didn't give me good memories, but I had literally blocked that out. He turned and he said to me, "No wonder you go so hard for Bree. No wonder, because you're going to be there for your daughter. You're going to do, you're going to be involved. You're going to be that mother." And I said, "Yeah, I am." And he said, "That's your purpose. And your purpose is being a mother." And I was like, oh my gosh, right? So that was such a moment for me. We ended up going back through, and of course I had wonderful memories of my mom. My mom always did great nurse. She always told us nursery rhymes when we go to the doctor or the dentist. I remember that about my mom. But that is just how powerful your mind is, right? And so if we can use even the negative to be good mothers, it's a wonderful thing. In 2018, I lost my mom. And the day before she passed, I remember sitting in the hospital room and watching her talk to people that were coming in to see her. We all knew that it wasn't long before she was not going to be here anymore. And everyone would say, "Oh, you know, your mom is so great, so loving, kind, God-fearing, full of grace, mercy." I remember wanting to talk to my mom so bad about all the complex issues I felt around her and my relationship, but yet I felt like I would be selfish, right? I felt selfish in wanting to have that conversation when we all knew she was going to die. Like, it felt unfair to me. And unfortunately, you know, I did not have that conversation because I just felt like she was in such a beautiful way the day before she died. And I know that might sound weird, but if people that were there know what I mean, and she was happy talking to everyone. And looking back on my past and my mothering to my present, I realize that being a mother is so complex, and yet it is a verb, right? Mother is a verb. It's an action. There's a quote by Gloria Steinem, and it goes like this: "But when mother is a verb, as in to mother or to be mothered, then the best of human possibilities come into our imaginations. To mother is to care about the welfare of another person as much as one's own. To mother depends on empathy and thoughtfulness, noticing, and caring. To mother is the only paradigm in which the strong and the weak are perfectly matched in mutual interest. Besides, one may be forced to be a mother, but one cannot be forced to mother." That is powerful. To mother helps you change your internal definition of a mother so that you stop looking for a perfect mother, so that you will begin to identify your mother as anyone who offers care. Offering care you are mothering and being mothered if you are offered acceptance, which is so badly what I wanted from my own mother. I just wanted her to accept me. I didn't want any only if or but when. I just wanted to be accepted. And I think ultimately she did. We worked through a lot. So let me go back. You are mothering and being mothered if you are offered acceptance, if you are offered sustenance, direction or instruction, and if you are empowered. And to be honest, there is no perfect way. But if you can provide these things for your children, it's not cookie cutter, right? So all of these things, the acceptance, sustenance, direction, instruction, empowering, that is mothering. And mothering is facing fears even when. Mothering will make you face and conquer things you never thought you could. Mothering is teaching us to how much we need grace extended to ourselves, because it is not going to be pretty all the time. And I make mistakes every single day. And yet, I mother. And I love mothering. I love my children. And so I hope this provides you all with a little encouragement, a little inspiration, that the great thing that if you use mother as a verb, it is changing. It is vibrant. It's like a living thing. You get it wrong today, you can get up tomorrow and do it better, do it differently, figure a new way out to conquer a problem. That's what I love about being a mother. And so I hope that this week, as you go in, however complex your mother relationship is, that you go in thinking about it in a new way. It is an action, right? And it's changing every day, and it's growing and changing and doing it differently and better and making mistakes and getting back up and doing it again. And just know that there's no perfect way. And just keep moving forward and trying and doing the best you can. I hope you all have a wonderful Mother's Day. I know that I plan on it. I'm going to be doing a little tennis and with Ava. And so I'll soon be seeing Bree. And so we will celebrate Mother's Day when I see her, because it's a new era for us. We're both going to be mothers, and I'm so excited to see when he gets here in September. So have a wonderful week. I love, love, love you guys. Thank you so much for being here with me, and I hope we continue to grow together, and I look forward to next week talking to you all again. Hey, mamas, thank you so much for joining me again today on Co-Parenting Your Thrive Guide podcast. You can download your free Thrive Guide on my website at deborahlanay.com. If you enjoyed the show today, don't forget to rate and review me wherever you get your podcast. It really goes in supporting the podcast, and I would really appreciate your feedback, good or bad. I would love to hear from you. My new podcast comes out every Monday, so please join me next Monday. Until next time, I am Deborah Lanay, and remember for this week to lead your conversations with honesty, clarity, and love, and always give grace extended.